This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, what's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Tom Davis here. Hope you guys are doing the best ever. This is a great short and sweet podcast with a gentleman who has a working line Doberman that is whining everywhere, in the car, outside, constantly. His friends said it's impossible. His vet said, I don't think it's going to get any better. But there's some things, and we talk about genetics and some realistic things about what is fair for him to do and not. But we start breaking down some different paths for him that he didn't even think about that I helped him work through and troubleshoot through. So this is a good podcast for dogs who are dealing with this anxious whining, this whining in general, or just learning how to problem solve through something new in general. So we have a couple new dog training questions on the podcast, but I'm going to answer them next Monday. So make sure, if you guys have your specific dog training questions, I'll answer them here on the podcast, baby. Let's go. All you have to do is go over to the iTunes review chart, leave your review, and I'll answer them next week. I hope you guys are well. Join the No Bad Dog Members Club. I'm flying to somebody's house that is in the Members Club to train their dog absolutely for free. All you guys have to do to enter is click the link below and join the All Access No Bad Dog Members Club. It's a fantastic community. It's the best. People Magazine even wrote about the freaking thing. Anyway, let's get into the podcast. Talk to you guys next week. Have a great weekend.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine.
Great.
Thank you for your call.
Of course. No problem. Did you want to just chat on the phone today, or did you want to FaceTime or anything in particular?
Chatting on the phone's fine.
Great.
I mean,
all right.
I know what you look like, and I'm ugly, so you don't need to know what I look like. It's all good, okay?
All right, brother. What do we got going on?
Well, I don't know if you read the initial email or you just want a little background on the dog and me and whatnot.
Give me a little background.
Okay. I've had working dogs my whole life, for the most part. And I'm 70, but I'm very active and all that. I've had, a lot of high energy, strong willed dogs. And the dog we have now is a 3-year-old, European Doberman. Brought him in when he was 13 months old. He's still intact. And he's great. Thomas, he's great. 90% of the time, 95% of the time, he's wonderful in the house. He's great with the grandkids. He's a real sweetheart. He's not destructive. All of the good things you want in a dog. When I first got him, he was very, very insecure. He was nervous. He was skittish. In fact, I almost didn't keep him. And my wife, I wanted to give him time. You know, my wife fell in love with him, and she said, you can make this work. And I feel like I have. It's been a journey to get him more secure. I think my opinion is he's a little bit on the small side for a Euro Dobe, and I think he probably was targeted to be exported. Then the pandemic hit, and the original deal fell through. And that's why he was 13 months old when I got him. And I suspect he was probably kenneled or whatever, and just not, you know, he just wasn't socialized properly. And basically, I treated him like he was a 6-week-old puppy and just started doing everything with him that I could to expose him. And he's really made a big turnaround. He's still a little skittish with strangers or things like that. But for the most part, I mean, I'm not going to say he's 180 degrees different, but he's 165. You know, he's really come around. He has a very, very high ball drive, prey drive, over the top energy level. He's always wants to what I call play, especially the ball drive. I used a local trainer, and he was great. He helped with the insecurity. Ended up using an e-collar on him because that was the more effective than a pinch collar. He's dog reactive, especially with males. A little bit worse on a leash than he is off leash. Off lead, he actually seems to handle better. It's like when the lead goes on, he's a little bit, I'm sending him a message that there's something coming up that I don't want you to go after. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like anticipation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've been able to, for the most part, work around that. He gets a lot of exercise. We go for at least an hour every morning for a hike, runs, that kind of stuff. And, I mean, he is really high energy. He'll chase a ball until he dies. I have to make him stop. You know, he's just that kind of dog. I work obedience with him every day for the most part, and he does real well with that. So, like I said, 90% of the time he's great. The problem that I run into with him is that high level of prey drive when we first go somewhere, and I go early in the morning because of our heat and humidity down here. When he gets out of the truck, I lose his focus. He's looking for something else. He's not paying attention to me. I'll make him do, you know, heel with me and whatnot, and he wants to pull ahead. He's not yanking. It's not like, you know, a sled dog. He's just not walking right beside my leg. He wants to pull ahead. If I tap the e-collar, then he is very vocal. He doesn't redirect where he wants to bite, but he'll jump and kind of bump me, not necessarily with his mouth, just with his chest. He's frustrated. He's a bit of a brat. And let me back up. Probably the thing that irritates me the most is when we're going somewhere, he starts crying. He used to literally scream. And I got so sick of him doing that that I would zap him with the e-collar and tell him to hush, to down and hush. And he will do that, but he still whines the whole time. And it'll sort of build. And at least once, usually twice, it's like the whine will just get too loud, and I'll tell him to hush, and he jumps up and turns around. I have to tell him down. I have to zap him, and he'll do that. But it's like he's like a hyperactive kid at Christmas that just can't seem to help himself, if that makes sense. He just is just so excited about going somewhere that he just loses all focus. And I have tried, I've watched your videos, hell, I've watched everybody's damn videos, and I've tried everything I can think of, toys, putting his bed in the back seat, giving him a bone, giving him the ball, which he loves. None of those things he pays any attention to. I tried one of those high pitch, I don't know what you call it, but it's a thing that you tap, and it's a real high pitch. It worked for 2 days, and then it's like he figured, well, hell, this isn't that bad. You know, I can live through this. I even had a squirt gun, and that was a little precarious, but I would squirt him in the face when he'd start screaming. And again, after 2 or 3 days, it was like, it's not that big a deal. I'd rather scream. And right now I'm using a gentle leader on him. I put that on when we leave, and that sort of distracts him. He hates those things, and he's better, but he's still whiny. And so that's the biggest issue is the car, and then that first 30 minutes until he gets that real intense exercise out of the way, so to speak, the first 30 minutes, then he's great. Then he'll work on it. I could send you a video and you'd think, oh, this guy ain't got any problems. This dog's wonderful. And he is. But that initial, before he can burn off that initial energy, he can be a real dick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It reminds me of the video you did on the Dutch Shepherd, Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Except, like I said, when he does get frustrated, he'll bark and bump me. He doesn't bite. He doesn't redirect. And it was like Leo. I don't think Leo was afraid of anything. He was like, you know, I'd go after anything. Well, he's not that. He's not on that level. He really isn't. But it does remind me of that sort of a dominant, pushy brat personality when he doesn't get what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, he's three now, and I think just having a three-year-old intact working dog, I think a lot of the things that you're dealing with is likely to happen of this drive, right? The drive is always going to be there, but the difficult thing that you're dealing with is definitely going to be the whining and the vocalization. And it's hard because a lot of what I've seen this in dogs is it becomes a lot of involuntary behavior where they don't even intentionally know that they're doing it. They're just, they're excited. They're, it's like kid pulling up to Disney World. I mean, they're just shaking with excitement and they're like, yeah, I can't wait. And they're just over tea kettle over it. You know, they're really excited about it. And so that's the reality of having a working line intact dog is people keep them intact, not only for the benefits of having the dog to potentially live a healthier life and be full grown, but also the intensity. Intact dogs are more intense because they have more testosterone and they got all that stuff that's pushing through them that makes them more intense. That's why people keep them intact is for that drive. So a lot of this makes sense. And I think you've already done your part and your job about squirt bottles, e-collars, you know, whatever the buzzers, the whistles, you know, whatever's out there, you've done it. And I think, again, like you have to look at the whole situation and realize that a lot of this is an involuntary thing. And the best thing you can do is, I did this with this border collie once when I was in Vegas, I was training this dog and very similar behavior, very similar type of go, go, go-ism, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, this dog was just like really excited. And the tough thing is, to really get them, you got to target them almost to get them focused to say, hey, it's kind of like a kid with ADHD is they got all this energy. And if you don't say, hey, here's what I want you to apply that energy to, it's going to go in 100 different places and it's not going to be, you know, there's no accumulation of productivity, if you will. So anyway, with this border collie is what I'm saying is I got the ball out, which creates kind of some of that involuntary vocalization that we're talking about, but it also gives them a focus or a target. So what I have found, and this is more of a long-term thing, what I did with this dog over the weekend was I'd put the dog into a place or down or something, and then the ball would come out and I would build my duration of the dog not whining and basically teaching the dog that if they don't whine, they're going to get paid and they have to hold that calmness or that quietness in order to get paid. Because the reality is here, Bill, is we have an intact working line Doberman that has a crazy drive to do all sorts of different stuff. And what we want to do is say, hey, I like your drive. I like your enthusiasm. I like your obedience. Like you said, 98% of the time, you're the best dog. But when you're in the car, I want you to be quiet. Or when we're going places, I want you to be quiet. And that's a little boil over, I think, of what's in his head. He's like, he just can't help himself.
One of my closest friends is my vet. And we had lunch Friday, and I told him I was doing this. And he kind of chuckled, and he said, well, you've wasted your money. He said, I'm sure the guy knows what he's doing, but I'm telling you, I've done this my whole life, and I've seen dogs like this before. He's genetically wired to do what he's doing. Mm. And you can force him to not do some of this stuff, but you're not going to change that genetic package. It's just the way he he's built. The trainer I used was very good. In fact, he's got a Euro Doberman. And he told me he's opening another location. And so I've sort of lost contact with him. It was mutual. I mean, I would have continued to work with him some on this and probably wouldn't have had to call you. But Chattanooga is a relatively small dog world when it comes to acceptable trainers. And I'm extremely conscientious about dogs, and I realize the responsibility of owning a dog like this, you know, and I do everything Thomas imaginable to make him a responsible and sound and good dog, you know, with my neighbors and my grandchildren and everything else. And so at any rate, John had told me, he said, well, we've got him at 95%. And he said, I'm not saying that you can't get to 100, but I don't think he basically said the same thing that Mickey did. You know, this dog's just wired that way. And I think you're always going to have to deal with that. So basically what I do now, my wife doesn't like to ride in the car with him because of the crying and whatnot. I just don't put him in the situations, if I don't have to, of where it's going to be an issue. You know, I take him and I run him. And then when I get home, he's great and everybody loves him and everything's cool. I'm the one that has to deal with the aggravation of the crying and the stubbornness or brat, being a brat the first 10, 20, 30 minutes of the day. And it does get aggravating because, hell, I've been working with this dog every day for 2 years, you know, and it's just there. And if that's the way it is, and I promise you, I won't think I've wasted my money. If you tell me, man, you're probably as good as they're right. You're as good as you're going to get. Then I can accept that. Your videos are so that you're the best of any of them I've seen. And buddy, I've watched a ton of them, you know, and you're the most practical. That's the thing that I always enjoy about yours is the practicality of it. And so I thought, well, hell, it's worth $375 to chat with the guy and see if he thinks it can change. You mentioned using the ball, and I told you that he's dog reactive. When I've got that ball, he doesn't give a rat's ass about any other dog, male, female, or anything else. He just wants that ball. The problem with using the ball is he gets, as you said, he gets so excited. He does what I'm telling him to do, but he's not. He's just doing that to get the ball. You know what I mean? And he's so intense on the ball that he's not really acting the way I want him to act, if that makes sense. I sort of feel like I'm talking in a circle here, but
no, it does. There's, like I said in the beginning, I think that there is some validity to that. And hey, you can't teach a fish not to swim, right? You got a working line, Dobie, ball driven, intact, big energy, you know, lots of intensity, right? So it's like a, you know, really big football player and going out there smashing people around. That's what they're supposed to do. It's what they're, you know. So I think, but what you can do is you have to get creative. And I know that you have been trying different things, but you have to get creative with the behavior of the dog and the mental state of the dog. So what I would do is I would go out with like a basic, either a slip leash or a prong collar or something. And I would start working, well, two big things. The first thing is like I said, you got a dog that is innately, primally packed with this, let's go to work. And you know that, and you do that. But first thing in the morning to get him out to run that ball, work is always the best thing to do regardless of anything else that we talk about. And I know that you know that, but that's just getting that off the table.
Sure.
But what I would do is I would get him in either with food or a ball. If you feel like the ball is too much, I mean, it's kind of good that the ball is this very intense thing for him, because you can really teach him things like that. If he's obsessed with it, like the Lord of the Rings type thing, if he's obsessed with it and he's got to get to it and he's got to have it, what you need to do is say, hey, I know what you want, but here's what I want you to do before you get to that. And you have to, this is where your timing comes in as a handler. This is where your marking comes in as a handler, is you get him out and your job is to teach him. Like, what, here's what I do with my dog is if I put her into any behavior, a down, a place, a sit, a stay, or just a stand, if she's just sitting there, standing there, and I have the ball, what I'll do is I'll work on calmness and engagement before she gets it. And that's something that you'll have to teach him how to do over time.
Okay.
It's not, so what I mean by that is you get him out, he's jumping, he's excited, he's whining, he's doing everything. Okay, okay, get your energy out, buddy, right? And then what you do is you take that ball out or you take that food out, or you could do both. So, and this is where you have to get creative to kind of flip through channels to see, okay, this works, this doesn't work, this works better than this, let's go with this, because every dog is different. And when you're handling...
Yeah, he's not a foodie. I mean, I've tried every treat in the world, and if anything's going on, he doesn't give a rat's ass about his food. Or
even like chicken or anything like that?
Anything.
Okay.
I mean, he's almost kind of a... He's a weird dog. You can drop a piece of chicken and he won't necessarily grab it and eat it. You know, he'll sniff it and walk off.
Okay.
Half the time.
Got it. So
he's not food motivated at all.
Sure. Got it. Okay. So what I would do is I would go out and I would work on really small segments of obedience. And does he have a good out command, or once he gets it, it's his? How's the deal go?
No, I can tell him to break, and he understands that completely.
Okay, because that's what I would be doing with him is I'd be getting him out, and I would work on exactly to take that energy and to take that focus and to take that drive, and I would use it to your advantage by timing your reward system to teach him what you want, which means if you get him out and you get that ball out and you just hold it neutrally just by your side, and he gives you 2 seconds of calm behavior, right? He's just sit there drooling over. Then you pay him. Yes, boom, you pay him. You play with him. He tugs, he rips it, he shakes it. He does all the Dobie working dog stuff, right? Shakes it from side to side, growls at it, throws it up in the air, whatever he wants to do. You get it back and you tell him to leave it or drop or whatever you use. He spits the ball out. And this is where you're going to toggle between your leash and the reward. So essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to teach him to stay between the mustard and the mayonnaise here, right? So when you're driving down the road, you get the white line, you get the yellow line, you're like, hey, I want you to, you need to be right here. Okay. So your timing is huge on this. So, and you have to start, it depends on the dog. If you get a really drivey dog that is over the top anxious for something, it's going to take you a day or two to really, or more to really teach him this. But what you have to do is take that leash and control him, and you hold that ball neutrally by your side, and he starts to whine or do anything that you don't like, but you got to be very specific about the things that you don't like. So what I'm talking about is the whining or the vocalization. So don't ask him to do something. This is what everyone does. I'm like, all right, you want to work on the whining and the craziness, Bill, let's go out. We get the ball down, we get a leash on the dog, and we immediately sit, down, down. I'm like, whoa, screw that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the calmness. Do you want your dog to stop whining and being crazy? It's like, yeah, okay, well, let's work on that. So you get out and you just take that ball, and you might have it in your hoodie pocket or in your coat pocket, something that you can stick the ball into so it's not too crazy, right? Okay. Or a vest, whatever. And you get that ball out, and he's looking, and this is where your impulse control comes in, because he might just try to take it out of your hands, he might go for it, and this is where you say, hey. So right now you have an opportunity to channel what you want. He says, I want that more than anything in the world. You say, okay, perfect. Now listen, here's what you got to do. All you have to do is you have to just sit there for 1 second and not make a peep. And then you pay him. And then 2 seconds. And then 3 seconds. And what you have to, because I know what you're, I know the grand scheme of things, it's in the car and it's in places that you really don't have a hang of them. And I understand all of that. But it kind of goes back down to basic obedience, where You're like, hey, I want to go to the park and walk my dog, but he drags me around the park. I'm like, well, can you walk him at home? No. Well, then you can't go to the park. So I want you to start off in your yard very, very clearly to teach him what you want. And the minute or the second he gives you that calm, okay, I'm gonna focus on the ball or I'm gonna focus on you. Boom, and you pay him. That's what I would be doing. And I've done, going back to that border collie story in Vegas, that's what I did with this dog, is anytime the ball or frisbee or anything that came out that this dog liked, it would be this habitual, crazy, annoying, over-the-top craziness. There was two big problems with this, and this is something you may be dealing with yourself. The first problem is she had no control over the dog because she had no leash on the dog. She'd say, oh yeah, this dog goes crazy over the frisbee or whatever. So she gets the frisbee out and the dog's circling her, jumping on her, clapping the teeth and whining. And she's like, look, this is crazy. And she's taking that frisbee and she's holding it behind her back and she's telling the dog off and she's backing up. She's getting cornered. She's getting picked on. It's chaos. I'm like, look, put a leash on the dog. Keep the, because you're kind of like, oh, I want, you know, I want to, it's too much open space, right? It's like naming a fish in the sea here. There's too much space. You're never going to see that again. You have no control. What you want to do is you put a leash on the dog to say, and that's what I'm saying, is you get that ball out very neutrally. And if he just lunges for it, boom, correction. If he whines, give him a little bit of pressure and he's going to go, oh, ball, oh, ball, oh, ball, oh, ball, oh, ball. And it may take you 5 minutes, 5 hours, 2 days, 2 minutes. But what you have to teach him is how to behave to get what he wants. Because he's think about the root of why he's whining. He's whining because he's anticipating something that he likes. Rather, you're going for a ride to go somewhere or whatever.
Yeah, it's all about going for the adventure. That's, I mean, he's almost lazy in the morning, Thomas. You know, he's not pushy about anything, but he knows my routine. And when it's about 15 minutes before I'm going to be ready to leave the house, you can tell he starts to build a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just, and he anticipates so much. And like I said, he jumps up in the truck, I make him lay down and he'll lay there and then he'll start the crying.
Yeah.
And it starts real low and then it will crescend. You know, a little bit more, a little bit more. Then we have to have a shock with the collar, and we start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you described it initially. It's like a hyperactive kid at Christmas. He just, you know, he's expecting it so much. And what drives me crazy is this has been going on and on and on. He did get better. It got to the point where, when he was yelling in the car, I just knocked the piss out of him with an e-collar.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned, you know, I can't do that. But he still has this underlying whining going on that he can't seem to control. And he does well with the ball. When I'm holding it, he focuses on it. And he doesn't lunge at it. I won't let him do that. I won't let him bite at it or anything like that because of the grandchildren and all that. He really has pretty good self-control when it comes to that. It's just that he's so wired about it.
Yeah.
Everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. The only time he won't go after the ball, we have a pool and he won't go near that pool no matter what's in it. He's terrified of water for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I think, like I said, it seems to me that you have all this, let's call it environmental thresholds. So it's the same thing that you would do with a dog that is, you know, if you called me and you said, hey, Tom, my dog just darts out the door. I open it, darts out the front door, side door, glass door in the back, slider, whatever. And I would do the same thing. I'd say, you got to teach the dog what you want to do differently. And that means putting a leash on the dog, going towards the door, and then on your cue, on your break, on your terms, you then say, okay, now you can go through.
Right.
But right now, because you're not doing any of that, and sometimes that works with dogs, But you're dealing with a dog that almost can't, like I said, can't help it. It's involuntary. It's like, what do I do? What do I do? Oh God, oh God, oh God. They're getting punished. They're like, okay, fine, I'll try to do it. But what you have to do is you're doing part of it, which is correcting the dog for the behavior you don't want, which is part of it, right? Of molding, shaping, teaching.
Right.
But what you're not doing right now is you're not saying, hey, here's how I want you to drive this ship here. Here's how I want you to outlet this. And that's what I would be focusing on the absolute most, is getting the leash on to make that world smaller for him so you can control him. Getting that whatever out that he loves, you know, whether it's the ball or whatever, right? And then you go up and you put that ball right on your side and he starts to lunge and get it crazy. You have to teach him, here's what we're doing for things that you want, for things that you're excited about. And this is something that can scale over time. But right now, it's becoming a fight or flight type of behavior for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting the car. We're going, we're going, we're going, we're going, we're going. And then it's just all gas, no brakes. The ball comes out. We're going, we're going. You have to teach him. So my point is he's always going to be very excited about doing stuff, because to be honest, Bill, I think you might be a little upset if you got a 3-year-old European intact Doberman that was a couch potato. So
oh, yeah.
this isn't that fun.
I understand that. And Tom, he's what I bought. Mm-hmm. I understand that, mm-hmm. You know, so I have no misconception of what he should have been or shouldn't be or whatever. Now that he is more secure, initially I was frustrated with his timidity, but that's changed. And you know, so I realize what I you know.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for, you may just get it. Well, I got it. You know, I did get it.
And
all, and so, like I said initially, if and it sounds like this, I am going to have to deal with him being this way, and what you're telling me is to try and mold him in a different direction by using the reward of the ball, because that's the thing that he enjoys the most, and use that as a reward
for calmness. You got to start paying him for, because right now he's like, okay, mistake, I get it, but what do you want me to do? And that's your job to, because that, think about when we talk about dog breeds and origins and genetics, I mean, it's very clear that, look at like dog sports, Mondia Ring, IGP, any of those working like stuff, right? The working dog stuff. All of those dogs are the same. They're like, they got all this energy and they got all this drive and this potential and this prey drive and this workability to go out there and work with you, right? And you know, your job, like a lot of these other working dog jobs, is to say, hey, I want you to be able to turn this on and off when I say to, and they have to learn that. And so that's what I would be doing, is I'd be going out on the leash with the ball. And I'd be really grinding this out for the next couple weeks to say, hey, you're going to offer me a calm state of mind, and then you're going to get paid. And then if you can get that, it's just like any other obedience. If you can get that at a very short process, like a very small bit of that, you can keep going. So then that's what I would, that's what I would be doing with him, is get him out. Because right now, like I said, it just seems like it's all gas and no brakes. He's just getting out and he's going crazy. And I think what you should do is really teach him, this is how I want you to behave. This is how I want you to do things around here. And I think because he's smart enough and he has the drive enough, if you teach him that if you just be calm for 1 second, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, you're going to get everything that you want and more. And because of his drive and his workability, it's not clicking to him right now. He doesn't know that that's what actually is getting him paid.
Yeah.
Right now he's just like, I'm excited. And you need to say, hey, I know you're excited, but you're not going to, because he's getting paid or rewarded for that behavior to some degree. Where?
Yeah, he is. I mean, and I've conceded that, so to speak. You know, my life's a lot easier if I take him somewhere at 7:30 in the morning and we go for an hour plus hike, and then the rest of the day goes a lot easier. That's sort of the price I pay. And I'm fortunate to be able to do that. But there may be instances where I can't, and then there's a lot of frustration if he doesn't get to go. And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, that's only happened probably twice in the 2 years that we've had him, that he was unable to go somewhere. You can tell he's a little anxious during the day that he didn't get to burn that energy off. He has amazing recovery. If I have to watch him, especially in our heat and humidity, he wants to play again in the afternoon, and I can't let him do that much because of the heat. He's the kind of dog that kill himself. I'm convinced of that. If I just threw the ball indefinitely, he'd drop dead.
Yeah. And that's probably the truth. And like I said, I think I would use that to your advantage. And I think that's what a lot of people do is they get that ball out and the dog starts to get swirly and then they start to get like nervous and they're like, and then, what I would do is I would really tone that down you could get as creative as you want, Bill. I mean, really you could put him on a back tie and really take your time with it and teach him. That's what I did with my Dutchie Lakota, and that's what I do with a lot of high drivey dogs. They go gibby 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 gibby, and they're just so anticipating things. And I teach them, look at me in my face, and as soon as you look at me, yes, boom, they get paid. And it's easier with dogs that it can work for food because you don't have the whole okay, now drop the ball, calm down, stop the teeth clattering, relax, all that stuff. It's really easy. Is you just put a piece of food on the ground and the dog looks at you and you pay. Yes. Like click treat, type thing. Yeah. But that's what I would be doing right now is I just feel like I would really encourage you to kind of give him a clear roadmap of, I don't like this and you don't like that. And he probably doesn't even like that, but you need to teach him, here's how I want you to behave to get what you want. And he'll start offering that calmness and that state of mind to you more often. But you gotta, when you go into the car, it's the same thing. You get him into the car. Your normal routine right now, I'm just assuming, is you load him up into the back. He starts getting excited. He's pacing and whining, and you get in and you back up and the whole thing happens. What I would do is I would break that whole sequence down. I'd get him into the car and I would demand again the same thing. Calm down, pay him. Calm down, pay him. And that can get as creative as you want. For me, I'd put him into the back of the car. After I've completed the task of teaching him how to be calm and silent with me for 3 seconds, and then I'd go to the car and I'd say, hey, got to do it here too, buddy. And then I would break him right out of the back of the car. I would say, break, and I'd throw the ball right off the ground. And really, you got to transfer it. Because like I said right now, I think zooming out, the biggest problem you're having is the simple fact that you haven't really taught him what you want him to do. We've just been kind of like, trying to correct this behavior down, but he doesn't know. Okay. I know that this is bad because you're punishing me, but I don't, what am I supposed to do? And I think that if you spent time going back down to the basics, you could really help him outlet that.
Okay. All right. Well, it's certainly worth a try. And I'm typical, I guess, of anybody, Thomas. You get in a habit of doing things a certain way and they, for the most part, they're working. But like I said, this is one thing that I just haven't been able to get over. And I mean, I've had high energy dogs before. I had a first generation German boxer that was out of Shih Tzu and three parents, and he was unbelievably high drive. But I was able to contain it better. And it's just with this dog, he's got more drive than anything I've ever seen. He's just wired that way. And he loves exercise. That bastard runs. I mean, he doesn't just trot, Thomas. Mm. He gallops. Mm-hmm. And he'll gallop on a cool morning. He'll gallop for an hour and never let up. I mean, he circles around me. He's good about coming back. I've you know, he'll break on a squirrel or a deer from time to time, but I can use a command to come back, and I may have to zap him one time, but he'll turn right around and come back. He's great about everything except this, like I said, this one thing about the car and the first being controllable the first 20 or 30 minutes. So mm-hmm. I think I've gotten in the habit of doing things a certain way, and I need to take a step back and look at it and see how I can do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And work better on the reward end of it rather than the punishment end of it.
Yeah, and I think just having clarity. I think he's just like, he's like I said, I'm using this a lot, this conversation, but I think it's all gas and no brakes. He's just go, 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 go. And you have to just teach him, hey, and that's what's creating that anticipatory, stressful, anxiety thing is because you're not breaking it down, right? You're just getting to Disney World, opening up the minivan and saying, run free, kids. You know, so they just can't wait to pull in that parking lot because your fastened seatbelt light is already popping on when they pull in. They're just ready to go. And you have to say, hey, settle down. There's some things we have to do. We got to load the cooler. You got to hold my hands. You got to do this. You got to really break things down to say, hey, to get what you want the most, you have to think clearly. And I'm going to dictate what that looks like. And you have to spend some time on rewarding him for the good behavior. Because again, like you're telling a fish not to swim and he's like, sorry, didn't mean to swim, you know, and it's not necessarily bad or unfair, but he doesn't, okay, all right, fine. I understand that this is bad and I'll lay down and he can take that, right? He's a working dog and he doesn't really give a crap. He's ready to just go. But what I think you really need to do is outlet really what he should be doing. I think that'll be really helpful for both of you guys.
Okay. All right. Well, good. All right. I appreciate that. I don't really think of anything else. I mean, as I said, he is dog reactive, particularly with other males.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over the top. In fact, I passed one this morning and if there's some distance, say 15 feet between us,
mm-hmm.
and the other dog is not obnoxious, that has a lot to do with it. If the other dog is difficult, then cronies much more inclined to to want to mix it up. And I mean, I understand that to a certain degree. I mean, he is what he is, and he plays well with females, and I haven't had any issue with that for the most part. But he still is, you know, I'd love to be able to take him on a Saturday morning and have brunch at an open air restaurant, but I don't do that. We just don't do that because somebody's Yorkie might get in his face or whatever. Sure. And it's, you know, I don't think that would go well. And,
yeah, right.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe there's some videos you have about that I could look into.
I think a lot of this is going to come down to kind of targeting his natural drives into doing something productive and beneficial. And so when you're out, I mean, there's not much you can do about other people, right? I mean,
you're right. Yeah.
There's only so much you can really do about that. But I think it's important for you to just continue to really outlet and tell him, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to behave. Hey, you just have to, and you already are, right? Like you're already really important to him. He really pays attention to you, which is great. But what you really have to do is you have to just make sure that when you're out, it's just you and him. Like if you have that ball on you and you go out, you know, like that should be between you two. And I think he's the type of dog that if you go out and you have that reward on you, he's not going to care about anything else. And you already know that. So I would just, I would continue to do that. Yeah. To just go out there and say, hey, we're going to go work. And then your job is to kind of keep him protected and to advocate for him. If there's other dogs, dog owners that are doing things that are going to, you know, potentially set him up for failure. Hey, keep your dog on a leash or you just leave. I mean, that's what I do to be honest, is I'm out of there. I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't do dog parks or anything where I don't know where I don't have at least some control over.
Yep. Yep.
Circumstances, you know?
Yep.
I think 75% of America has no business owning a pet, let alone a dog.
I think that's why I do what I do, is to educate as much as I can. 'Cause I think people are really struggling with really basic stuff. And, there's just not a course or information out there. You get a dog, and if they don't listen, I don't know. People just don't know how to do it. So I'm happy that you stumbled upon my content. And I think you can get, you know, really close to better, or really close to 100% on this, but you just have to, he's got that tunnel vision, and you have to put the tunnel directed right on you. Say, hey, calmness equals ball.
Yeah.
The calmer you are, because right now, like I said, you're teaching him. Well, I don't even know if you're teaching him, but you're enabling him to do bad behavior, but then you're punishing him when he does it. So when you get into the car and he's whining, you're like, hey, knock it off. You correct him, but he really doesn't know alternatively what you want him to do.
Yeah. Well, that's an entirely different perspective than what I've been doing. So I'll focus on that. And, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your input. And you know, cool. I will take it to heart and see what I can do.
Awesome, Bill. Well, I wish you the best of luck and good luck, and thank you. And I think you guys will see some pretty big differences as long as you start with the things we spoke about.
Okay, good. Cool. Okay. Well, thanks again. Mm-hmm. You have a great day enjoy chatting with you.
All right, Bill. Thank you. Likewise.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.